If it were its own country, the U.S. Latinx community would have a stronger economy than the United Kingdom or India or France. New research shows strong economic growth in this community over the last few years. And host of Public Radio's Full Disclosure, Robin Farzad, joins me to explain. Hi, Robin.
Hi, Celeste.
So tell me first about this research. How exactly do you measure the economic strength of a group of people like the American Latinx population?
The United States is a portfolio of populations. If you think about all the concentric circles of immigrants who've come here over the years, Asian Americans, Irish Americans, the Jews of New York, the Filipino Americans, Iranian Americans, Cuban Americans, you can take cross sections and look, it's not monolithic, whether you're looking at Cuban Americans in South Florida and Chicano Americans. But even so, out of the $20.9 trillion GDP that the United States has, $2.8 trillion of it is U.S. Latinos, with enormous growth over the last decade, enormous youth, enormous consumer spending power. And it's just striking in such sharp relief to see it put up against these other economies.
Yeah, and in under a decade, the community's GDP has grown by over $1 trillion. That's more than the total GDP of most countries. So you mentioned the youth of this population. What is really behind this surge?
You know, I've been trying to read between the lines. It says the U.S. Latino cohort, I'm quoting from the study, has accounted for nearly 80% of the net new additions to our labor force during the past decade, while also accounting for 52% of all net new employer businesses, making it our country's most prolific entrepreneurial cohort. I mean, wow. A lot of that is driven by immigration and second and third generation immigrants, what you go from the service sector and maybe agricultural work to your kid going to college, doing something entrepreneurial, maybe going to med school. But then when you look at the most common age being 11 of the Latinx cohort compared to 58 for Anglo-Americans, 27 for African-Americans, you can see the fuel, the drive, the future, the pockets of growth behind that.
Are these pockets specific to certain industries or maybe regions?
I was surprised to see it big in insurance, in construction, in finance. I mean, back in the day, you would think that Latinx immigrants who would come here would overwhelmingly be in the service sector, in hotel, hospitality, agriculture, picking work. But I think it speaks to the fact that it is not a monolithic population. I can look at my hometown of Miami alone, and the Cubans, the old money Cubans who came here in the 1960s, very little resemble the Mariel refugees and the other waves of immigrants who've come here. And that bucket doesn't really resemble McAllen, Texas, or Southern California, or the Central American populations in the Mid-Atlantic. But I think taken as a whole, it's a very desirable market for Spanish language television or Spanish language radio. And the Fortune 500 has to take note when you have this reservoir of growth within the United States where other populations, I think, are stagnant.
We got 30 seconds left here or so, Robin, but do you think it's possible that this will also affect immigration policy moving forward?
I worry about it both ways. If you want to be opportunistic and say we need immigration, we need it to the extent that these numbers were borne out over the past 10 years, but those in favor of replacement theory or you know, population will not replace us could weaponize this, and I worry about that.
Robin Farzad is host of Public Radio's Full Disclosure. Robin, thank you as always.
My pleasure.